okay if someone sees you as an underdog, or it's okay if you appear, but you can't believe you're the underdog. Because if you believe you're the underdog, then you're going to deal with your own self-limiting beliefs, and you're not going to do what it takes. And that's the competitive edge that I had. Yeah, 157 pounds. Everyone saw me as an underdog, but I knew I wasn't an underdog because I knew I had the talent, the ability, the mental toughness. And what they didn't know was I was willing to do whatever it took. So for those who are listening, I would encourage you. It's okay if they see you as the underdog, but don't believe you're the underdog, and make sure you're willing to do the work.
Welcome to the Spartan Deca series on Spartan Up, with Jared Cogswell, Director of Sport, and Yancey Culp, Director of Programming.
What's up, Spartans? Welcome to the DECA series on the Spartan Up podcast. I'm your co-host, Jared Cogswell, along with my brother, Yancey Culp. And today, we have former NFL receiver. I mean, this guy has caught touchdown passes from Hall of Famer Joe Montana. But you know what? We're going to talk about working like an athlete. So I want to welcome to the show, J.J. Burden.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Honey Stinger, made with organic honey and delicious ingredients. Use the code HSSpartan2020 at honeystinger.com to save 30% off.
What's up, Spartans? It's Super Bowl week. Okay, we got a big week ahead. But first, I want to talk to my brother Yancey about this past weekend before we tell you who our guest is, because it is Super Bowl week. But first, we want to talk about a couple of things that happened over the weekend at our DECA Strong events in both Florida and Utah, where the High Rocks world champion Lauren Weeks had her sights set on Sam Briggs' DECA Strong world record, the CrossFit Games champion in 2013. Yancey, as a coach, man, I'm just curious to what are your thoughts on Lauren getting after it again in Sandy, Utah at Trainer's Own Fitness?
Listen, brother, we know there's been like 50 plus events across the country and gyms all around, DECA Strong, DECA Mile, and we've proven that it's for all levels of fitness. But every now and then, what you and I call the DECA cyborg step into the arena. And Lauren Weeks she's on that DECA cyborg podium. And as we saw at the Spartan Games, we had a bunch of the cyborgs, the Sam Briggs that you mentioned and whatnot. Sam set that record. And Lauren actually finished sixth that day. And of course, they were on day two and they were a little beat down. Well, Lauren came in fresh at Tom Bidell's gym in Sandy, Utah, Trainer Zone. And listen, folks, she dropped a 14.05, slightly off of Sam's mark, tied Corinna Coffin's 14.05 for the second fastest female mark we have ever seen. And anybody that knows the sport so far, any female sub 16 is flying, folks. So to see that another crazy mark like a 14.05 was very, very impressive. We also had some great marks down at CrossFit Warpath at Heidi Williams's event. And it was just a great weekend, man.
Yeah.
I get geeked up every Thursday, Friday, knowing we have big events coming. So congrats to Lauren Weeks, second fastest DECA Strong time ever.
Well, we got another great weekend coming up. And there's a big event coming this Sunday. It's not quite as big as DECA Strong or DECA Fits. It's this thing called the Super Bowl. So I invited a special friend, a special guest, you know, to be on this week's episode of the DECA series on the Spartan Up podcast. And I'll tell you what, guys, I first met this man. I met him in the gym. Okay. And I'll tell you what, I haven't worked out with him in a while, but I know he's still training. I know he could probably make toast out of a couple of defensive backs in the NFL right now, knowing this guy. Because not only is he a world-class athlete, an NFL receiver, which, by the way, also played for the Kansas City Chiefs, so I think we know who he's rooting for this weekend, but he's also one of the most incredible, passionate, you know, successful fitness people out there. He's an entrepreneur. He's a motivational speaker. And I'm very, very proud to call him my friend, J.J. Burden. Welcome to this week's show, my brother.
Hey, what's up, Jared, Yancy? Man, it's good to be on, man. I'm excited to be here, share a little bit, and talk a little bit about the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm sure you got a bunch of interviews lined up this week to talk about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's been a very busy week. I've gotten to the point where I had to turn some down because it's just not fitting the schedule. But when you called, I was like, okay, we're making this happen.
Well, I tell you what, you know, the last time we spoke, you know, the one thing that I think you epitomize, JJ, is that work like an athlete mantra. And you and I have talked a lot about that in the past. I mean, because one, you have an incredible story of how you came about in the NFL, you know, and you're a guy that caught touchdown passes from Hall of Famers like Joe Montana, amongst others. But you battled to get to those positions. But the thing that I really admire about you as well, and you don't see this with a ton of athletes post-career, but is the success that you've had after your NFL career. Like, you are a very driven, passionate, purposeful person. And you spread that, man. You have, it's infectious in the most positive way. Like, you make people around you better. And what I thought we'd start off with is, what are those essentials to like, how do you go about working like an athlete so that you can be successful on the athletic field in business and in life?
Hey, real quick, I got to add one thing to set this up for the listeners out there, because there may be a small percentage that don't know a lot about JJ from his playing days. Folks, we're talking about the NFL. JJ played at 157 pounds. Okay. Just let that pull you to the edge of your seats. When you think about what you watching the Calvin Johnsons and all these people, JJ was a rock star at 157 pounds. Gives me chills just saying that, brother. Go ahead.
I appreciate you saying that, because I did a little research. You know, there's only been one NFL player that's been lighter than me in the NFL in the last 30 something years. That was Mark McMillan, DB, yes. 147 pounds.
Wow.
I know. So, but anyway, you know, I think it's a real good setup, Jared, because you and I talked about work like an athlete. And as you guys know, athletes naturally have these qualities that allow them to be great in their sport. You know, they're disciplined, they're focused, they're determined, they deal with resilience, or, you know, mindset. I mean, we could go on and on. And for me, it was like, okay, when my career was over, let's take all of those qualities, those characteristics that allowed me to be a successful athlete, and now let's transition those into the business world and into my personal life. And that's really what I tried to do. And it was an interesting journey, but I tell you, when you start realizing that once an athlete, always an athlete. I might not be running 4.3 in a 40 year anymore, but the intensity and the focus and the practice and the discipline, I still do those things in what I'm doing today.
Yeah. And what do you find is like those essentials that, or what are your, you know, what are those rituals in your life that you stay disciplined about to like play this game called life at a high level?
Yeah, I would definitely start with mindset. I think how you think, what you think, when you think, it matters. And I think mentally people take themselves out of the game every day because life throws them a curveball or something unexpected happens, and they start dealing with their own negative thinking or self-doubt. And so being an athlete, as you know, you got to have a strong mindset because there's a lot of things happening in a game. And so for me, I've maintained that same mentality of, hey, let's have a positive mindset, because a positive mindset separates the best from the rest. And so when someone starts there, I think the potential is endless, but that's usually where I start. Get your mind right. As our coaches used to say, get your head in the game mentally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
JJ, you've been quoted as saying, hustle like a rookie. Paint the picture for the listener what that looks like playing in the NFL. But as you so eloquently say, once that's done, bringing that into your professional life post-NFL and trying to keep that mentality every day.
Yeah, because when you're a rookie in professional sports, you know, you're the new one, you're the new kid on the block, and you have to prove yourself. It doesn't matter what you did in high school. It doesn't matter what you did in college. You're in the NFL and you're playing against the best in the world. So you have to have the ability to have that work ethic that just can't be matched. You're 24/7, you are on it. And you're trying to perform at the highest level every day, because every day has to be game day. You got to prove that you belong there. So that focus of hustle and grit and resilience, I still do it to this day. Even if I'm getting ready for a presentation, I'm going to still put that same work ethic in. Even if I'm spending quality time with my children, I'm going to still make that commitment. And I think that's a difference maker to the people who go on to do something special. They're willing to make the commitment even when they don't feel like it, even during those difficult times during the day. So that hustle mentality is always has to be there, but you got to be smart about it. You know, you got to balance it a little bit. And that's the key, finding that balance.
You know, the other thing you've told me over the years, JJ, is you got to stay hungry, right? And when you talk about that, I think rookies are hungry. They want to prove themselves. And, you know, I think a lot of people lose that hunger. They lose that intensity over time. Yancey and I were talking about this interview, you know, even this morning, like how we prepare and, you know, the questions and, you know, what are the mantras of what we're going to talk about today. And when we go back to this work like an athlete mantra, you know, I think about you as an NFL player. All it takes is one step slower and you could be out of the league, right? And what if you approached your job like that? You know, what if you put that kind of, like, we need pressure. We need accountability. We need to be coached. But we have to almost treat it like, if I get a little bit slower, I might get behind and I may not. I mean, what if I lost my position if I got slower or I wasn't learning more? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because as professional athletes, when you get to that level and you realize that it's a level playing field, everybody's fast, everybody's strong, everybody's a great athlete, you start realizing it's the little incremental improvements you can make from day to day. And that's what keeps you in the game and keeps you having a longer career. And I figured that out early. So every day, every week, every year was like, how can I make these little incremental improvements and get better? Because that's the difference between whether you play on Sunday or you watch the game from your sofa on Sunday. And like you said, next thing you know, you're out of the league. And so again, that same approach I take today. It's like, how can I be better than I was the day before? You know, having that mentality, like you said, staying hungry, because what happens to many people at times is when you achieve a degree of success, you tend to get comfortable. You tend to, you know, pat yourself on the back and you lose that competitive edge. For me, it's always like, okay, what's next? What's the next goal? What's the next challenge? So it's always, how can I raise the bar of my performance from day to day? And I think that's one of the things that's helped me avoid complacency.
JJ, I have going a little personal here. I have the wonderful opportunity to work with the high school team here in Cedar Park, and about 12 years. And I can look back on the years where we've had more success. And I always can pinpoint those years where there was a few key actual players, good coaching, but a few players that made a big difference as strong leaders on the team. I love the fact that we have somebody like you here that can actually paint pictures, maybe experiences you had in the NFL. Some of those great leaders that I call them unpaid coaches at the high school level, but some of those leaders and key things that you saw that they did that was just an absolute game changer.
Yeah, I would say the number one thing that leaders do, I think better than anyone, is leaders lead from the front. They set the pace. They don't wait for someone else. They go out there and set the pace and set the example. And when you have leaders like that, it becomes contagious. You know, the ones that are serious and committed, they want to run with that leader and run stride for stride. And I think the best example I can give you is the year we signed Joe Montana, who was the Kansas City Chiefs. We had a pretty good team. We made it to the playoffs every year. But when Joe came, there was like this, I call it the Joe effect. His leadership was evident right away. And when he came in, because I'm sitting there wondering, like, okay, Joe's like, you know, 14 years in the league. He's won 4 Super Bowls. Is he going to rest on his laurels? What's he going to do? Shoot, Joe came in. He studied like a rookie. He prepared like a veteran, and he led like a pro. And when you saw that leadership, you wanted some of that. And right away, he stepped up our game to the next level, to where when you're in a huddle, Monday Night Football, and it's you're down by 3 points and you got a minute left and you're driving down the field, you looked in his eye and you saw, okay, there's a guy that's been or done that. Just do your job and he's going to lead you the way. And so like you said, Yancey, when you have good leaders like that who can lead like that, the team members who are committed, they're going to follow the lead.
Dude, JJ just gave us the mic drop, JC.
You know who I was thinking about when you were speaking about Joe there, JJ? I was thinking about my dad, okay? My dad loves Joe Montana. Like, I mean, literally, I don't know if this is appropriate to say or not, but he called him God Junior when he played for the Niners. So when you're talking about him leading the Chiefs, I know it breaks his heart a little bit, but his heart is definitely with Joe Montana. So it's always fun to hear the Joe stories for sure. You know, also on the leadership front, JJ, you know, we've talked about some of those coaches that meant a lot to you on your path and your journey, especially, you know, gosh, 157 pounds, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of coaches that didn't even give you the chance. Who, you know, were those coaches that said, I'm going to take a chance on JJ? Like, who gave you that opportunity, you know, at the beginning?
Yeah, there were always coaches along my journey who played a role in just getting me to the next level. And it always started with their belief in me. If I go to high school, I'm going to probably name Tom Smythe, my football coach, because, you know, I was like 133 in high school. And I remember when I tried out for Lakeridge, I was on the sophomore team. You know, I wasn't able to be on the JV team. And then my junior year, I thought I should have been on JV or varsity, but I was on junior varsity, you know. But Tom just said, I'm waiting. You're going to get your shot. He said, just keep working. You know, it's going to happen. And when I got my opportunity, he certainly gave it to me. And then moving to college, it was Rich Brooks. I had to twist Rich Brooks' arm a little bit because I was a walk-on. I went to Oregon on a track scholarship, and I convinced them to let me walk on the second year. And I had to, Brooks, you know, give me a shot. And, you know, but anyway, he finally said yes. And all I wanted was an opportunity. And I didn't care, Jared and Yancey, that the day one I walked into camp, I was number 13 on the depth chart of all the wide receivers. And there was only 14. All I saw opportunity. And 2 weeks later, I was number 2. So again, they saw me as an underdog, but I didn't see myself as an underdog. But Brooks gave me the shot. And then there was the NFL. It was Marty Schottenheimer. Marty Schottenheimer drafted me when I was in Cleveland. I tore up my ACL. And that next year, Marty went to Kansas City. And I kind of bounced around a little bit. When I was 100%, I thought, well, who is the one coach that's really going to give me a fair shot that third year? And that's why I went to Kansas City. And Marty really did. And the thing about all these coaches was this. They all believed in me. And when someone believes in you and your abilities and you know they're going to give you a shot, that just takes your confidence level to a whole nother stratosphere. And I got to credit all those coaches because they certainly played a role in my journey.
Okay, you just set us up for a magical moment for the listeners here. No pressure, JJ. So what was going on in my mind when you were explaining that was, okay, you were the guy that was undersized. Okay, that could be the guy that, or the girl that's in the interview, and there's a bunch of MIT grads and Harvard grads, and they graduated from community college. It's the same situation in the NFL field and business. But here's the thing. Talk to the listeners about, they believed in you, but you strongly believed in yourself. So every day, right now, somebody's sitting in one of those situations where if they don't believe in themselves, they're not going to paint a picture strong enough for that coach to even think about, or that interviewee, the person doing the interview, to even think about them. Talk to the listeners about that when they don't meet the measurables, that whatever the standards are.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of the underdog mentality. You know, I think people have always, many people have felt like an underdog in certain situations. I met someone recently in a business, and they told me they felt like an underdog because the person they worked next to went to Harvard and they went to some local community college, but they do the same job. And so what I've tried to tell people is that it's okay if someone sees you as an underdog, or it's okay if you appear, but you can't believe you're the underdog. Because if you believe you're the underdog, then you're going to deal with your own self-limiting beliefs and you're not going to do what it takes. And that's the competitive edge that I had. Yeah, 157 pounds. Everyone saw me as an underdog, but I knew I wasn't an underdog because I knew I had the talent, the ability, the mental toughness. And what they didn't know was I was willing to do whatever it took. So for those who are listening, I would encourage you. It's okay if they see you as the underdog, but don't believe you're the underdog, and make sure you're willing to do the work. Make the sacrifice, do the hard stuff consistently, and understand success is an endurance race. It is not going to happen overnight. I sat on a bench for 3 years at Oregon. I sat on the bench several years at Lake Ridge High School. In the NFL, it was my fourth year that I finally made that statement. But during that time, guys, I was putting in the work. I was taking practice like it was my game day, honing my skills, getting better, waiting for my opportunity. And when you get the opportunity, you don't open the door. You rip the door off the hinges and you make that opportunity stay. You own that baby. And that's what I did.
That's another mic drop. Yes.
Hey, as soon as he said that, I looked over at Yancey because I knew that was going to geek him out right there. You know, JJ, one of the things that we talk about, especially, you know, in the business of fitness and working with so many clients for over the years, you know, it's a roller coaster ride for so many people. Motivation is a roller coaster. You know, we know discipline is the only thing that really gets people through the obstacles in life. You know, you have to be disciplined. You have to do the things that other people don't want to do. And I know you're one of those people. And what I always ask clients to do is you got to dig deep into your purpose. You have to dig deep into your why. And I know that it's somewhat cliche these days to say that, but what's that why that's within your soul? What's that driver and purpose in your life to be your very best?
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. Like you said, cliche or not, knowing your why is key. I think that's one of the main ingredients of success in anything. Why are you doing what you're doing? Just because, or I don't know, it was only going to take you so far. Because when things get noisy and the unexpected happens, it's so easy to quit. So like you said, I encourage people to find that why, find that passion. And for me, it's changed over the years. I mean, early on, you know, I was raised in Northeast Portland, you know, in Oregon. We struggled growing up. But why that was driving me, I wanted something better. I wanted a better life. I wanted to get out of the hood. I wanted to create opportunities. And that's what was driving me. And then as I got married and we had children, the why was all about the children and creating and giving them opportunities that I didn't have. Well, now my youngest child has moved out of the house. We're empty nesters. So now the why has changed. It's all about my wife and I really creating the life that we want as we, you know, as we continue on. But I'll tell you something that I'm very passionate about that's really driven me is that, as you guys can tell, I want to share my journey, my successes, my wins, my losses, what I have learned to get to the highest level. You guys mentioned it. There's 1,696 men who are on an active roster every single year in the NFL. 1,696. The average NFL career is less than 2 years. The average size NFL player is 6'2", 245. And when you played 9 years at 5'10", 157 pounds, you have something in the offer. You have value to help others conquer life's challenges. And that's what I'm passionate about today.
Oh, man. Okay. You mentioned family, JJ, and I want, I'll try to set this up for the listeners and let you take it, but for 12 years, JJ and his wife were a family of five, and then one day, JJ was found himself traveling to Tulsa. He got a call from, I believe it was a nephew, mm-hmm. It Man, I got tears reading this story, and they were wonderful tears. But a short time later, you guys were a much bigger family. Let's put that away. After Greyhound bus rides and everything. But I would love for you to take a few minutes and share that story. It inspired me. It inspired my wife when I had her read it. So good on you, man.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And that's something we're both proud of. You know, life throws you curveballs. Unexpected things happen. And, you know, when my wife and I got married, we've been married now 30 years. Our goal was to have three children. That's the goal, you know. And so we have LeJordan Jr., Dante, and Camille. And we had this nice little comfortable family of five. And then 14 years ago, I get a call from my nephew in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Justin. And there was just some craziness going on out there with my sister and my brother-in-law. So the next day I thought, let me fly to Tulsa to see what's happening with my five nieces and nephews. And when I got there, I found out it was a lot worse. And so 24 hours later after that, I'm in a courthouse standing before a judge, and the judge says, Mr. Burden, we're going to take your five nieces and nephews and place them in five separate foster homes. You're the next of kin. What would you like to do? So imagine sitting there with that question that comes your way, and you're just like, it's like it was one of those gut check moments. But I did what any smart husband would do. And I said, Judge, let me call my wife first, okay? You know, so I called my wife, Rain, and I have an incredible wife. And I told her, I said, babe, here's the situation. And I'll leave the children here. I don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize our family and our happiness. And my wife said, JJ, could you really sleep at night knowing we could have done something? Decision was made. We took all five of those children, we merged them into our family, and we went from a family of five to a family of 10. And that has been probably one of the more rewarding experiences, because we were able to give five individuals an opportunity to maybe travel down a different road, you know, a different path to create different opportunities for themselves. And they really impacted us too. They impacted my wife and I, they impacted my three children too. So it was a mutual benefit. And I tell you, no regrets whatsoever.
Yeah. Love it, man. I remember reading the story of you, the bus ride, not the bus ride, but the ride down. Your mom joined in. It was 11 of you driving down to Arizona. That was it's good stuff, man. That is very, I don't care what you did in the NFL. I was amazing. But that alone inspired me twice as much as your NFL stuff. So
good stuff. Hey, Yancey. Yancey, I remember when he added all of them to his membership. I'm like, man, we're giving this guy a good deal
here. I know, they love that. And you know what, guys? What's interesting is, like, as Jared mentioned at the beginning about work like an athlete, taking the qualities as an athlete and applying them in real life. One thing I learned in the NFL that's always helped me deal with change is, you know, as a wide receiver, so imagine. So I'm in the huddle with Joe Montana. He gives me the play. I break the huddle, and you're sitting there thinking of the play, your assignment. You're looking at the defense. You're scanning everything. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm on the line. All of a sudden, I hear black razor. Joe's changing the play. He's audibling. And I can't just say, hold up, Joe. I don't want to change the play because I'm going to run this. You don't do that. You process the information. You make a decision, and you commit to that decision. And you've got 10 seconds to do that. So when that judge gave us, you know, that proposition, process the information, you make a decision, you commit to it. And when we made that decision, my wife and I, we committed to it so that those children, we all felt like a family. But I'll tell you, my NFL days taught me how to call that audible and make that adaption on the moment.
That's an amazing story, JJ. And you know what? That's why you were invited here, because you're one of those types of people that, you know, are special and influential and inspiring to other people. I mean, you have been one of those people in my life that's the full package, man. Hey, speaking of which, I mean, we met at the gym, right? You know, back in Oregon. Man, you've always been fit. You've always, you know, it, like I said earlier, like I know you could still possibly run a few routes against these guys today. What keeps you know, in that space, you know, because I've seen a lot of athletes train and train and train. And when they get done, they quit they quit everything. They quit training. They get they just get burnt out. What's kept that fire going for you?
Probably a conversation I had with the Atlanta Falcons doctor when I retired. I tore my ACL up my last year, and then I went through rehab. And he said to me, he goes, JJ, you've had two knee surgeries. Let me give you some advice. He said, don't stop working out. Take care of your body. Take care of your health. He said, because it could be the difference between you having knee replacement surgery at the age of 40, 50, 60, 70, or 80. He said, it's up to you. And I never forgot that. So right then I made a pact that I was going to live a healthy lifestyle. I was going to be on top of my nutrition and stay active and work out as hard as I can. And I've been able to do that. And like you said, a lot of athletes, they shut it down. And I'm sad to say, guys, I've lost some teammates. I lost a teammate last week, Tony Brown, who played with the Browns, who's a year younger than me. And that's what I'm starting to see, because guys aren't taking care of their health. So to answer your question, living a healthy lifestyle is important to me, and it's just what I do from day to day.
I got one more heavy one. I thought we were done with the heavens, but I got to ask this one, because you, when you said you were lined up, you're out there split, and you got Joe Montana under center. He calls the audible. I tell the youth that I get to work with all the time, and I want you to speak to the youth. We're going to reach the youth right now. I've always told them team sports. I would argue that team sports are the greatest internship they will ever have. There's no internship they'll ever have as an adult that will be more powerful than team sports as a youth, middle school, high school, college. Talk to the youth, because I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. Talk mm-hmm. to the youth about the importance of team sports.
Oh, man. Team sports are so valuable. I mean, to this day, I'm using a lot of the elements of being part of a team sport in the business world. And for young ones, I always try to impress upon them, there's two messages I send. First, let's say there is no I in team, okay? It's helping them understand it's not about you, it's about the team. How can you make the team better? What role do you play in the team's success? Because even in the NFL with 11 guys on the field, everybody still has to do their job, and their ability to do their job is gonna contribute to the success of the team. The second thing I say is this, I flip and say, there better be an I in team. And what that means is you have to do your job. If you're a wide receiver, study your plays, study the film, do your job. So when the team calls on you, they know they can depend on you and that you're going to execute properly. So, and it's one of the keynotes I love to give, that better be an I in team, because before you can successfully be a teammate, you got to be able to successfully lead yourself first.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's such an important message, especially on the team side. Yancey, you're on fire with the questions today, man.
You got the best one coming. I know you got the best one coming.
Hey, so let's talk about team sports. We got a big game Sunday, you know, and I'll tell you what, I'm excited as a fan. Now, I'm bummed because my Niners are out. I know Yancey's Cowboys are out, which I'm always glad when they don't make it. But we have two awesome quarterbacks that, you know, the veteran, we still got the young guy in Mahomes. Tell me about your thoughts with Brady versus Mahomes.
Yeah, I love the story. I love the way it's setting up, because I am a huge Tom Brady fan, you know, and I think over the years, people have said this and that about Brady, but I just think what he's doing is incredible. And I don't think people understand that. He's 43 years old. He's 12 years younger than me. And he is still playing at the highest level. I mean, Joe Montana was 37 when he led us to the AFC Championship game. Brady's 43. And I don't think anyone will really appreciate that until later. But trust me, it's incredible. But at the same time, I played most of my career with the Kansas City Chiefs. So you know who I'm pulling for. But I would say this, guys, I think it's going to come down to two things. One is, which quarterback is going to be able to handle the pressure the best? You know, defensive line is really going to command this game. And I think the edge goes to Kansas City, because you got a younger quarterback who's more mobile, Mahomes, who's going to get out of there. Brady, I think, could be in trouble, because they're going to have the different schemes and stunts to get to Brady. If they can get to Brady, that could be the difference maker. But I could be wrong because somehow this guy keeps pulling it off. So we'll see.
He sure does, man. And it's quite the story this year for him to have all that success in New England and then come to Tampa and do it in his first year, you know? So it's gonna be an awesome, awesome Super Bowl. Okay, so we got to ask. I thought maybe the three of us could play this game. I want to hear your prediction first. Who wins the game and what's the score, JJ? We're gonna do a under the table bet here when this is all said and done.
I think the Chiefs are gonna win, and I think they're gonna run away with it. I really do. Ooh. I think we're looking at 38 to 24, something like that. I think Buccaneers are gonna have a problem stopping that offense.
Yeah.
So that's what I think.
All right. Yancey, you're up next, man.
Well, if I wasn't at the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl in person watching that, I probably would be picking the Chiefs right now. I until Tom Brady retires, I will never, ever bet against him. I'm saying 31-28 Bucks.
Woo! Okay.
You were at the Atlanta game. That's pretty powerful. You saw that close.
That was insane. There's no to see that in person. It's like that's as close to being in. That was bigger than Buffalo beating the Oilers. That was insane.
Yeah.
And to be at that big stage, are you kidding me?
I know.
That's true. You know what? I'm not gonna go with my heart on this because my heart is kind of for the old guy. You know, I want Tom Brady to go out a champion. You know, I don't know if he'll be back next year, but I just think it's a great story, right? But my father-in-law is going to love this because he's a big Chiefs fan, and he rubbed it in hard last year when they beat my Niners. But I'm going to go 31-20 Chiefs. Ooh. But I'm not gonna count Tom Brady out. So, but, man, I just think the Chiefs are, man, they look the so dang good.
The Brady story is so incredible, though. It's just, I mean, if they weren't playing the Chiefs, I'd be all over, you know, rooting for them. His story is just 43 years old. People don't understand. 1,696 men on an active NFL roster, a 43-year-old is on it, and he's leading them to the Super Bowl. That is incredible.
Yeah, he's sort of beating the odds there from the stats he gave us.
Yeah.
So, hey, listen, man, this was a pleasure. This was awesome. I mean, there's so many takeaways and lessons that you shared in this short amount of time together. And I can't wait to continue the conversation offline, man. And I listen to Yancey and you go back and forth. And I'm like, man, these guys got to hook up with, like, the three of us got to get together when we have an event down in Arizona or something like that. But hey, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate you. Appreciate the friendship and everything you bring to the world, man. We always say light up the planet. You're one of those guys that does that, brother.
I appreciate that. And it's a pleasure to hook up with you again. Pleasure to meet you, Yancey. And, you know, I just want to be remembered as one of the good guys, you know, one of the guys that did it right, you know, was consistent, hardworking, kind, and set a good example. And that's if you talk about legacy, that's how I want to be remembered. He was one of the good guys.
Well, you're doing it, my friend.
We try to keep them under 45 minutes. I'd like to talk with you for 3 hours. We love to close with this. We always say live, love, laugh, and serve big, with big, big focus on the serve. And from the entire Spartan DECA community, much love to you and your family, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the DECA series on Spartan Up Podcast. Spartan Up is your partner in resilience for mind, body, and spirit. We're here 3 days every week. Tuesdays, you can find Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan, interviewing biohackers, business leaders, authors, and athletes. Thursdays and Saturdays, catch episodes from our DECA, Endurance, Trail, Combat, and La Ruta series. Do you know someone who needs a little nudge? Maybe they could use some motivation, tactics, to be stronger, healthier, happier, more successful. Tell them about our show. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. We want to know who's watching and who's listening. Thanks. See you next time.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Honey Stinger, made with organic honey and delicious ingredients. Use the code HSSpartan2020 at honeystinger.com to save 30% off.